This is the anniversary of a terrible crime in the Chicago area. Anna DeVlantis joins us now with This Week in Chicago History. Anna?
Yeah, morning, Bob. Haunting anniversary this week in 2008. Many listeners will remember this well, just a tragic situation when the Lane Bryant store was targeted in Tinley Park by a man who originally was posing as a delivery driver, walked into that store in the middle of the day, 11 a.m., and came in and demanded money originally, but then led the women who were in the store, four shoppers, two employees, into the back and eventually shot them. One of them, remarkably survived, and she was able to provide these vivid details about the suspect to police, which led to a detailed sketch of the suspect being distributed everywhere. Additionally, there was DNA collected at the store. There was a shoe print, a brief voice recording, remarkably. The store manager managed to get in a quick whispered call to 911, and his voice was captured in the background pretty prominently. But despite all of those things, all of that evidence, and a reward of over $100,000, the crime has remained unsolved, a cold case 17 years later. But fast forward to today, there is hope, and that the suspect will be caught. There are so many advancements in technology and voice recognition software in particular that police are thinking that at some point here they may be able to match his voice and figure out who it is or who they are. They don't know if there was one person acting alone or multiple people involved. But Tinley Park still have it all up on their website to this day, hoping to catch this person and bring this person or persons to justice.
Yeah, maybe new technology will give them the break they need. Let's hope so. This was the week in 1968 that Tom Skilling was discovered, sort of, wasn't he?
Feel like Tom was going to be discovered no matter what, but if you go back to this day, so he was 15, Bob, just 15 years old, living in Aurora, this Aurora kid with this extreme passion, will surprise no one, for meteorology, and this talent, back then even, for forecasting, and he did get a big break. The radio station in Aurora, WKKD, decided they'd take a chance on this kid, who claimed to be more accurate than the weather forecast they were currently getting shipped in from wherever. He said, "I can do this better for you guys." But the backstory to it is just precious when we so much we know about Tom. As a kid, he would save his money from his paper route to subscribe to daily weather maps, and then he could no longer get them for some reason in a timely manner, so I think he was frustrated by that. So he wrote an 8-page letter to WKKD in Aurora, and he said, "You know, if you could provide me with daily weather maps, I'm going to forecast for you better than anybody else you've got and get you the best local forecast." Well, Star was born at that moment because they brought him on, and he started to do forecasts, weather forecasts, as a 15-year-old. The Tribune did a story about him called The Accurate Auroran, and, that was it. That was it. 10 years later, 1978, he would start at WGN-TV and become a legend. We pulled a clip from his very first. We didn't have any radio. We couldn't find any of that from the old time, but we did find from his first year on the air at WGN.
Good afternoon. This is, or it's evening now. Dark outside and temperatures are starting to fall some across the Midwest. We're expecting a frost around the area tonight, and readings by morning may in fact drop to some of the coolest levels so far this early autumn season. The rains have pushed onto the south, but behind them comes a high pressure system. And this is cool air. Temperatures last night dropped down to readings like 12 above up Bismarck, North Dakota, and the teens through the Dakotas. But 3 inches of rain heading toward the Pacific Northwest up toward Tacoma and Seattle. That's a new weather system that could bring us a radical cool off over the weekend. We'll have all the weather tonight on News 9 at 10. See you then.
Is it true that his first three words as a baby were mommy, daddy, and isobar? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure. If at 15 he was already doing professional forecasting, Bob, one can only know when that all started. That's an incredible story, though. Really incredible.
Tom freaking Skilling.
Yes, he is. We're talking a lot about the Super Bowl and, of course, the commercials. But if we go back to 1993, there's a great one with Chicago roots. Let's talk about that.
This one was iconic, Bob. Chicago-based McDonald's released a Super Bowl ad featuring one of Chicago's most iconic sports stars, Michael Jordan, going shot for shot with Larry Bird. This is 1993, so these basketball greats were facing off, showing off their serious skills, and oh, by the way, somehow the ad people managed to work a Big Mac into the equation. Here's this clip.
What's in the bag?
Lunch. Big Mac, fries.
Play you for it. You and me for my Big Mac?
First one to miss watches a winner eat. No dunking.
I think we're going to be here a while. I suggest you go get a Big Mac. Through the window, off the wall, nothing but net.
What you want is what you get at McDonald's today.
Off the expressway, over the river, off the billboard, through the window, off the wall, nothing but net.
Michael versus Larry Bird. Love it.
Awesome stuff. Just, I mean, it's interesting to think that that was, they had two commercials back to back, or I'm sorry, not back to back. They initially did a teaser in the Super Bowl, and then later on you saw them take it on again. But there was always a Big Mac break at some point, Bob, and that's how it worked out. But really awesome commercials.
Yep. Reese is the word, and it was the word this week in Chicago history. How did it all begin, Anna?
Bob, okay, did you know this, that the musical Grease was first performed in Chicago and written by a Chicagoan? Did you know that?
You know what? I actually was there at Kingston Mines Theater when it premiered.
Whoa.
You believe that?
No way.
You know, and I remember, I recall Dick Clark was in the audience because he was scouting it out for possible television specials or what have you. But, yeah, Kingston Mines, it wasn't much of a theater, but that night was pretty historic, wasn't it?
That is so cool, Bob. Do you remember it being great? Were you wowed by it?
You know, it was a little different when it first started. Eventually, kind of morphed into something a little more mass appeal. But back then, it was really all about Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was so interesting because written by Jim Jacobs, Taft High School grad, you're absolutely right, debuted at Kingston Mines back when they had a theater company. He was a Taft High School grad who partially wrote about his own experiences, focusing on a group of foul-mouthed, like ethnic guys, you know, working class guys from the northwest side of Chicago. And it's kind of interesting because when you go back and think of Grease, you know, you sort of feel that. A lot of changes, of course. It was way raunchier back then. I don't know if you remember that. There was a lot of swearing. There were a lot of adult material. And then the version was kind of cleaned up a little bit to go to Broadway a short time after its run in Chicago. Interesting that Dick Clark was there because it's funny how this thing just took off. So
yeah.
It was on the radar. It must have been on the radar of some pretty important people early on.
Mm-hmm.
Just Patrick Swayze starred in it in Broadway. And then John Travolta, of course, famously took over when it became a movie along with Olivia Newton-John. There was no Australian character, I don't think. Was there, Bob, in the original?
No, I don't believe so.
No. So that was changed around for her because Olivia Newton-John was the star. And so they changed some things. But a lot of the songs, the general plot line, and a lot of the language, the script, other than it was cleaned up quite a bit, was actually in the movie. It survived a lot of it. So pretty interesting. Rydell High and Grease based on Taft High School. How about that you were there? I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think we were sitting on the floor. I don't even remember if there were actual seats at Kingston Mines. Now let's go back to this week in 1996. Thanks to Oprah, a celebrity chef was born.
Art Smith, Bob, got his big break. And though you're right, Oprah is the one who made him famous. His break came from catering a party that Oprah did not even attend. He was discovered by Oprah's hairdresser, Andre Walker, who was at this party, tasted his Southern cooked food, and was like, oh my word, you've got to cater something at Harpo Studios. He said by the time he got home from that party, there was a voicemail left for him on his answering machine. Remember those? And they said, hey, will you come to Harpo tomorrow and cater something for us? So Art Smith says he recalls he went down in his own car or got a car somehow and just took off and went down there and served up some Southern cooking. Oprah called him into her dressing room at some point and asked if he would be the chef for the book club. It was the beginning of a super special relationship because he became her personal chef. But here he is. He said he was pinching himself one day when Oprah called his name live to come out on camera, come out on the show during the book club. Here it is.
She first puts me on as a chef to the book club. Remember when they used to have the book club?
Yes, of course. Yes.
It was me in the back cooking.
Okay.
And one of the book clubs, what she did was when she started on the roll with the tape, she not stopped tape because she felt she'd lose our energy. You know?
Yes.
So she says, stop tape. I'm like,
uh-oh.
Okay, and that time I had made these souffles, and they were like, I'm like, oh, God, Jesus, Joseph, she stopped taping, they're going to fall. And I'm like, because I could just envision these beautiful souffles come parading in. She goes, get the chef. And I'm like, oh, God.
Oh,
so
no.
I walk out there with the souffle and I put it in front of her. And she said, so beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, I just have to introduce you to my chef, Art Smith. Boom, the whole world who knew I was.
Yeah, and he still has a couple of places around here, doesn't he?
He does. It's interesting because originally he's had that one fried chicken restaurant that no one could ever get into because it had like 12 seats. But now, you know, he's got the place at Navy Pier, Reunion, and he just opened, really just this month, opened Blue Door. So something to check out if you want to check out Art Smith's home cooking, his southern cooking stuff. He's cooked for everyone, though. He's cooked for presidents, Princess Diana, like the Pope, Dalai Lama. He's really had an incredible career.
Everybody likes the fried chicken. And let's close with another oldie but goodie from Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, 23 years ago, Bob. Bears fans got to see the touchdown that never happened, and a lot of fans wish that they would. You know, seeing the late, great Walter Payton catching a technology-enhanced pass and running it into the end zone regrettably didn't happen in the 86 Bears win, even in that blowout game. And lots of books have been written. You know, people have debated this for years about whether or not Ditka should have given him the ball, Payton, at some point during that game and just made it happen. It was a blowout, right? There were moments for that to happen. The Chicago Tribune's Bob Verdi asked Payton about it at one point, and he really never said much about it, but the only words he said that I could find was he said, maybe Coach Ditka got caught up in the game. It was a little hardening for me that never happened. Ditka later called it his greatest regret. And interesting that the NFL released a spot in 2022, and they were featuring, you know, during the Super Bowl, kind of the stars of the game, and they've turned them into video game characters. We pulled a portion of that, bringing it to life with a very sweet finish.
Yes!
Another sack!
You lose.
That'll make it more than very long.
Super Bowl champions, once again.
Oh, it's not over yet.
137 flags on the play. Replay fourth down.
Come on, guys, huddle up. We got one last shot at this. Peyton's gonna run it. Who's got my back?
We got your back!
Manning sizes up
Luke
the
20. Ice cream.
It's Walter Payton. That's sweet.
Al Michaels helping correct history there. I love that.
Yeah, cartoon character version, but it felt pretty good to see it nonetheless.
Thanks, Anna. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Bob.